Hey, this is Brendan Gersall from King's Church. Thanks so much for tuning in to our podcast. I pray this message you're about to hear empowers you, encourages you, challenges you, and equips you to live the life that Jesus has for you. Thanks for tuning in.
I want to jump right in today. I have a message. We're continuing a month we're calling Prayer Month to bring focus in on prayer as a church. And we have been asking the question, the big if about our lives. Jesus, in the Word of God, promised in 2 Chronicles 7, if my people, there's a big if, and if you will humble yourself and pray and turn away from, repent, turn from your wicked ways and call on my name, he says, I'll heal you, I'll hear you, I'll move on your behalf. And so we've been asking the question, you know, what good things could God have in store for you, for us, if we were to humble ourselves and pray? And so we've been talking about prayer for these last few weeks. And today I want to continue that conversation. And one of the things we've been trying to do over these weeks is to just bring into definition what prayer is all about and to create some incentive to mobilize us to prayer. Most of us as Christians know prayer is something we should do. And yet, a lot of the time, we lack the incentive or the motivation to really get after it. And I think if you're like me, ultimately, incentive is connected to having a clear vision. I'm motivated to do things that I clearly believe are going to be beneficial. And so one of the things we've been trying to do as we've been teaching through this series, and Pastor Seth did a wonderful job last week, just increasing the wonder of what prayer is all about. And we're trying to do that to kind of crank up the incentive and your vision for what prayer is and what it's supposed to do in and through your life. Spiritually and scripturally and theologically speaking, prayer is truly, as it pertains to your and my life, the most important thing. It's the quintessential singular key that unlocks the peace and joy and hope and love and purpose and meaning and life and significance and joy and glory and direction that God promised is available to us. What's the key to a flourishing marriage? It's found in prayer. What's the key to healthy relationships and reconciliation? It's prayer. What about family and marriage and healthy churches? It's prayer. Prayer is that, it's that small, critical thing. It's that target that if you can hit it, will just unlock everything else in your life. If we're kind of comparing prayer to things we find in movies, prayer is the target that the Rebel Alliance sought to destroy in the Death Star. It's in that one little small space that opens up all the power. Where are my Star Wars nerds? All right. Old school Star Wars. I don't got time for this new stuff. Anyway. Maybe that's not your movie. Prayer is the flux capacitor that allowed Doc and Marty McFly to head back to 1955. Here's something that will make some of you feel very old. In 1985, Marty McFly and the Doc went back to 1955, way back in the past, 30 years ago. Do you know if today we hopped in a DeLorean and hit the flux capacitor to go back 30 years, it would only be 1994? Ouch. That stings. That stings a little. Prayer is the infinity stone that allowed them to conquer the dark forces. Prayer is the door that Jack was clearly not allowed on. Anyway, but it floated Rose off to safety. I'm having fun with it, but truly, prayer is that quintessential thing in the life of a Christian. Samuel Chadwick, the great theologian, he said, Satan dreads nothing but prayer. His concern is, one concern is to keep the saints, that's us, we're the saints of Jesus Christ, we're the saints, from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies and prayerless work and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil and he mocks our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. Prayer is that quintessential thing. Our hope during these weeks is to stir you up and create incentive for you to pray. And today what I want to do is I want to give even more definition to help clarify and to help you conceptualize what prayer is all about. We're gonna answer two questions today, or try to. We're gonna at least speak to these things. First, what is prayer? And then along with that, second, what happens when we pray? So what is prayer and what happens when we pray? Let's start with what prayer is. The word prayer conjures up a lot of things in our minds. There's a lot of different opinions and definitions of prayer. And that's because prayer is very dynamic and multifaceted. Some of the great minds of Christendom have called prayer different things. John Wesley said, prayer is the grand means of drawing near to God. I love that. Charles Spurgeon says, prayer is the approach of the soul by the Spirit of God to the throne of God. E.M. Bounds said, prayer is the voice of need crying out to him with inexhaustible resources. The late Tim Keller said, prayer is the way, actually all of these guys are late. Tim Keller said, prayer is the way to experience a powerful confidence that God is handling our lives well, and that our bad things will turn out for good and our good things cannot be taken from us and the best things are yet to come. I love that. The not late B.D. Ingersoll. That's me. Looks more official with the initials, doesn't it? Here's my stab at defining prayer. It is actually hard to define because it's so big and it's so multifaceted. But the way I think about prayer is this, that prayer is the means through which we relate to God. It's actually the substance of our relationship. It's that point of contact. Prayer is the action that we take in partnership with God's Spirit to commune, to converse, and to collaborate with the triune God in real time. That's what prayer ultimately is. It's that substance of relationship. It's that point of contact. For some of you, you're more like analytical in how you think. Maybe you're left-brained. You know, think about it like a circuit breaker. Prayer is that thing that brings contact and allows the power and the reality of God to flow into your life. Maybe you're more right-brained and you think more artistically. Prayer is like language. It's our mode of communication and connection with an unseen and yet very real and ever-present God. Prayer is so dynamic, and it's very hard to necessarily nail down into one thing, but prayer can be and take a lot of forms. Prayer, first and foremost, is something we do with our words. We pray in English, whatever our language, our native tongue is. We pray in French. You can pray in sign language. You can pray in every human dialect. Prayer can be done. It's through our voice. You find that in the scripture. A lot of the kingdom of God and experiencing the kingdom of God, you'll find is voice activated. Like you'll speak. God is a God who speaks. God created everything through his voice. The Bible tells us that prayer happens with our voice, but not just our voice, though. It's not limited to your words. We can pray with our body. How many of you know that to be true? Your body can be positioned and postured as an act of prayer. Your tears can be prayers. Your countenance, your response, your body position. Now, some of you think, I'm not so sure that's true. Read your Bible. You can move and aim your body in faith unto God as an act of prayer. Think about Moses. As the Amalekites were fighting the Israelite army, Moses standing over them with his hands raised like this. And as his hands were raised, the Bible said the Lord moved on the Israel army's behalf, and they began to win. And when Moses' arms went down, they began to lose. And so they held his arms up, this body type prayer. You think about Joshua and God commanding the army of Israel to march around Jericho 7 times in this physical act of prayer. You think about the New Testament practice that we do of the laying on of hands. In our service, we pray and we lay hands on dads and we say, God bless the fathers. There's a tactile component to prayer. Amen? You do it with your body. And then, of course, it's something that's connected to our soul, our emotions, our me, our us, our inside, our spirit. It's something we can do with our affection, our obedience, our adoration. Songs can be prayer. Expressions of art can be prayer. All of these things are what forms prayer. But prayer is ultimately anything I do unto God. It's at its core, it's aiming action at God. Does that make sense? That's why prayer is not just limited to your words. Anything you do that is God-aimed, with your body, your mind, your words, your heart, your stuff, it's ultimately That's what prayer is. It is tangible, the tangible activity of relationship with God Almighty. Are we clear? So my goal when it comes to prayer is aiming my whole life, every part of myself, specifically and consistently and intentionally at building relationship with God through prayer. That's what I'm trying to do. It's not some general idea that just should be presumed. It is something very specific and tangible that we are to do. And as we get specific with prayer, we start to see specific breakthroughs. I have found in my life that if I'm too broad or general in my thinking about prayer, it kind of loses its punch. I've learned that like general prayers get general answers, and specific prayers seem to get specific answers. Has anybody ever found that to be true? I mean, last week we did that. I love that story that Pastor Seth talked about the cucumber, that God is the type that nothing's too small for us to pray about. In fact, he loves when we get specific in our prayer life. We need to realize that prayer is that thing that we do to build relationship. It's the active, specific action aimed at our relationship with God. And the more specific and the more deliberate we are, the better. It's like in a marriage. I'm going to be doing some marriage counseling for Pastor Josh, our youth pastor. And I will, yes, congrats, Josh. You did it, man. You did it. It's awesome. But my advice to him will not be just generally be a good husband. Just assume that you're just going to naturally be good. No, it's going to be invest yourself in a relationship. Learn how to communicate. Learn how to serve her. Learn how to be that man that she needs and be that godly husband in your new life with her. It's this specific thing. And that's ultimately how we're supposed to think about prayer, that over time, through connection, through communication, through collaboration and partnership, we build a relationship. Does that make sense? This is God's design for our lives. Prayer is the word that we use for the things we do that connect us with God. It's what gives us a growing, dynamic relationship with God Almighty. It's conversation, it's listening, and it's speaking. It's serving, it's obedience, it's sacrifice. Prayer is loving, adoring, praising. These are all forms of prayer. Anything I do to aim myself unto God. The whole of your life, with the whole of yourself, inviting and connecting with God Almighty. That is a wild thought, isn't it? That you can connect with God. I mean, I've said it before, Pastor Seth said it last week. Like, in a very literal sense, one of the things that Jesus ultimately came to do was to die in our place to reconcile heaven and earth so that you and I could go directly and have communion with God Almighty. It is not a stretch to say that Jesus died so you and I could pray. It's not a stretch. He died to take away all the barriers that are between us and God so you and I can boldly approach the throne of grace, that you can go to God like a father, like he's a perfect father. My son never thinks I'm not allowed to go talk to my dad. We are invited to go to God because of the work of Jesus. It is a wonder that should constantly flood our hearts with gratitude and glory. So what happens when we pray? So are we clear on prayer? Prayer is God-oriented action, and it builds relationships. So what happens when we pray? I'm not going to be super long today, but I want to just sort of give you some framework. It's not limited to this, but as I was thinking about what goes on when we pray, here's kind of the three main building blocks that I think about when we pray. Here, I'm going to give you them up front, and then we'll unpack them. Here's what I think ultimately is happening when we pray, or what the act of prayer is ultimately. Prayer is first and foremost an act of worship. Prayer is an act, second, prayer is an act of partnership. Third, prayer is an act of relationship. So think about prayer as worship, prayer as partnership, prayer as relationship. I want to break these three things down quickly. Are you with me? We awake? All right, let's lean in. This is an equipping message, but I hope it's going to help you long term in your own prayer life. First, when we pray, prayer is an act of worship. What prayer is doing is grounding me in God above me. It is an act of worship. Here's a concept. It's about the authority of God. When we pray, we are rightly ordering our minds, our hearts, and the world around us. And we are setting God in his rightful place as God alone. That's what prayer is. Prayer is an act of worship. It sets God in his rightful place. Think about this. I'm going to make a claim that some of you might get where I'm going with it. Some of you might need some more unpacking. Let me say it like this. Everybody on planet Earth is religious. Everybody on planet Earth is religious, and everybody, in a sense, prays. Pastor Seth talked about it last week. Some people pray to Buddha. Some people pray to Allah. Some people pray to the God that isn't there, to their own understanding. They're atheists. But everybody has some sort of form of higher power. There are some Christians, Muslims, Sikhs. There are people who are Buddhists. There are Jews. There are agnostics. There are atheists, and there are Leafs fans. Everybody has a worldview. Everybody has a religious framework in which they operate in. To be religious is simply to operate within the framework of your theology. And everybody has one, even atheists. They don't think there's anything out there, okay, but they're operating within that framework. Does that make sense? It's interesting because a lot of the time if you read and you read things in public, you're on the internet, you'll hear people say, like, religion's the problem, or I'm not religious. I found it very curious. A couple weeks ago, I threw a Facebook post out there. And, you saw that. Okay. One of the things I noticed, though, was there was some pushback against me and my religion and my worldview. And a lot of the claims were, religion's the problem, and you shouldn't have religion in, you know, the public and the schools and all that. And the irony, though, as I was reading these things is your opinion sounds very religious to me. You sound very religious and actually quite pharisaical in your opinion about me. And it's kind of ironic that, I think it's the work of the enemy. He's kind of convinced people that, Christians are religious people. I'm just free thinking. No, you're not. You're within your own little paradigm as well. Now, why am I talking about this in relationship to prayer? Well, here's the thing. Everybody has a worldview. Everybody has a religious framework, and everybody within that framework looks to something to deliver them. Looks to something as the ultimate thing that I can reach out to and lean on and put my trust in to help me. Everybody has that. Everybody leans to something. There is not a human being on planet Earth that won't have in some moments of their life the utter, humbling realization that there are forces bigger than me and I need help. Every human being has that problem. And every human being has ways they try to deal with that problem. So for some people, they look to stuff to be their deliverer. If I can just accumulate enough wealth, if I can just climb high enough and don't have to answer to anybody on the corporate ladder, if I can just get that dream home, or if I can just go on that vacation, I'll be okay. They're looking to that. There is a prayer component to that. Some people pray to substances. I need to eat. I need to drink. I need to sleep with this person, and then I'll feel better. You're looking to that thing to satisfy or deliver you. It's a prayer. It's an act of trust. You're putting your trust in that thing. So for us as Christians, fundamentally, prayer is us in a moment of need and in a moment of maybe satisfaction, even looking to God and saying, "You're God, and all these other things are not." That's what prayer is. At the heart of prayer for a follower of Jesus, it is an act of worship that acknowledges Jesus as Lord. Every time you turn to Jesus and pray, fundamentally what you're doing is you're saying, "I have looked all around this world, and I have seen and studied all of the options that are available to me to put my trust in, and I have concluded one thing, that Jesus is God alone, and in him I will trust." That's what prayer is doing. Every time you turn to Jesus in prayer, you are toppling all the idols of this world, and you are setting the king in his rightful place. It's an act of worship. It's an act of worship. It's putting Jesus, it's saying, "Jesus, I trust you. God, I trust you." This is what Jesus was getting at in the Sermon on the Mount. Do you remember the part where he's talking about not worrying? He says, "Do not ever worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear." He says, the pagans run after these things. You see that? There is a way to live in this world that seeks to obtain all these things for yourself. And you can do it through your money, through your success, through relationships. That's how the pagans go about life. And Jesus says this, your father knows you need those things. He says, here is how Christians, here's how Jesus' disciples are supposed to appropriate their lives. If you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, everything else will be given to you as well. What's he saying? He's saying, learn to put God in his rightful place and he will bring his divine order into your world. What does it mean, like his righteousness, his kingdom and his righteousness? It's reality according to his word. He's saying, learn how to seek him first. Turn to him. Here's a question I would ask you. Where do you look to for deliverance? Where do you look for salvation, for provision, for satisfaction? Jesus says, look to God alone, look to God above, seek him first, and everything will be added unto you. So every prayer, hear me, at its most fundamental level is a decision and a declaration of trust. You're choosing to trust Jesus over everything else. Prayer is an act of allegiance. It's a decision of worship to say, Jesus is on the throne. Cancer is not. Jesus is on the throne. You know, global instability is not. Jesus is on the throne. You know, inflation is not. It's a choice. That's what prayer is. It's a choice of worship. When we pray, in that moment, we are seeking God, his kingdom, and his righteousness. So what does that look like in our lives? How do we do this? How do we seek God first? Well, first and foremost, we need to learn prayerful proactivity. We actually need to learn how to prioritize God in our lives, in every part of our lives, putting him first. We have to prioritize him at the start of everything. And I don't have time to unpack this all the way today, but there is a principle in the Bible. Like, if you read your Bible, there's this principle called the principle of firsts. If you learn how to give God first dibs and first access into everything, he will bring his divine order and blessing into your life. Is there someone backing up a truck in here? I hear a beep. So prioritize him at the start of everything. So at the start of your day, when you wake up in the morning, you prioritize him first. This is why, like, you're supposed to pray the Lord's Prayer. Pray in the morning. I try to make him my first thought when I get up. Doesn't always work that way. I try, though. I try to just cast my mind to Jesus and say, I'm putting you first in this day. I try to make Jesus my first word often days. Some days it's crap, but most days it's Jesus. Just be honest. You ever like wake up and just like, oh, that morning came so soon. But most days I just try to roll out of bed and I just say, Jesus, I give you this day. It's seeking him first. Seek him first in the weeks. That's why we do church on Sunday. It is to put God rightly first in your week. It's saying, here's a new week. I want to begin with you, God. Amen? Hey, you're here at church today. This is a chance for you to feel good, right? Like, yes, I did it. You did it. We do it in the year. We do it in opportunities, meals, new seasons, and everything new. Invite him first. Invite him first. But it's also about learning prayerful reactivity. So it's being proactive, cultivating a life of prayer, putting him in his rightful place. But also, when things go your way, turn to him in prayerful thanks and praise. What do you do when something good happens? You should turn to him and acknowledge his goodness. How many of you parents love it when you do something great for your kid and they're entitled and spoiled brats that don't even acknowledge what it freaking costs you to do that? Right? No, we don't want that. What builds great relationships? It's when your kid values what you did for them. Say, thanks, Dad. Thank you for doing that for me. I think we as sons and daughters of God, like, we please God when something good, when a prayer gets answered, when we have a breakthrough that we were looking for, when a blessing comes, when you all those things, we're supposed to turn and say, thank you, Father. But also when things go against you, what do you do? What's your reaction when opposition comes, when trouble comes and trials come? And how many of you know those things come in our lives? What do? We turn to him in prayerful trust and praise. Learn to seek him first in everything. Do you, in those moments where it gets challenging, do you take matters into your own hands or do you put them in his? Do you run to the Savior or do you run to some substance? Do you worry or do you worship? Here's something that's hard to swallow, but it's true. Worry is a form of worship. Worry is just what your body and mind are doing to the thing that you fear the most. And if you fear something more than God, that's a problem. So for us as believers, first and foremost, prayer is what? It's worship. Let's try it again. For us as believers, first and foremost, prayer is what? It's
worship.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. I heard the sights. Everybody remotely today, I heard you say worship first. The valley was lagging. Here we go. Number two. When we pray, prayer is not just an act of worship, but here's where it gets really cool. It's an act of partnership. Prayer releases God's presence through me. Here's the key concept. It's activity with God. It's not just acknowledging God's godness over your life. It's actually more specific and dynamic even than that. How many know it's healthy as a person to just like rightly order your world, to realize I have to fight to keep God on the throne? But the Christian life is more than just theological acknowledgement. Like, that passage in James is very sobering when you know, he's saying, hey, faith without works is dead. It's not just about faith and belief. It's actually about activating and walking in the life that God has for you. He says, even demons believe. And so for us as believers, prayer isn't simply just an act of worship, but there is a component of partnership in prayer that when we pray, we are co-laboring or collaborating with Almighty God. That is a profoundly wild thought. It should stretch your mind and make your heart flutter a little bit. When we pray, God listens. And he doesn't just listen, but many times, actually, I'll say always he moves. He doesn't always move the way we ask, but he always hears and he always answers. How many know that to be true? Don't say God didn't answer me when he just didn't answer you the way he wanted to be answered. But God always hears and he always responds and he always moves. This is the central text we're hanging over as a banner over this whole series. 2 Chronicles 7, if you will pray, I will hear and I will deliver you. I will move on your behalf. I'll stretch out my mighty hand and I will do what you can't do for yourself. That's what prayer ultimately is. It's partnership. And truly, that's a return to God's original design. Pastor Seth talked about it last week, about how God made us in his image. If you read Genesis chapter 1, God made human beings in his image. And that his design from the beginning was for human beings to exercise God's good and pleasing will on the earth as it is in heaven. That was always our mandate as human beings, to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over it, have dominion over it. That was the desire and design from the beginning. And then through sin, what happened? Well, we gave our divinely appointed authority over to the powers of darkness through sin. But here's what Jesus came to do. He took back authority, and then he says, what? All authority has been given to me, therefore go in that authority. What has Jesus done? He's returned all who come to him into their rightful position as sons and daughters of the living God so that you and I can exercise God's will, rule, and reign on the earth as it is in heaven. That's massive, y'all. That's at the heart of what Jesus, when the disciples came and they said, Jesus, teach us to pray, what did he say? He said, here's prayer in its essence. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's a return to the original design. That's what prayer is. When Christians pray, we are stepping into our God-given, blood-bought authority to call heaven to earth. That's absolutely mind-blowing. Like, God wants to partner with us. He actually will listen to us in a very real sense. Now, some of you, that kind of trips your wires. Like, I don't know. Does that make God less sovereign and less powerful? No, it's the ultimate flex, actually. How many of you know, like as a parent, the most satisfying thing is to watch your child, you know, develop into a good, well-adjusted human being and do the things that you taught them to do? Or even like more like, you think about animals, you think about husbandry. a farm, when you see animals in their rightful place and how a human being can actually develop animals to do the things and work with us. There's something beautiful about that. Any dog people in the house? Come on, where are my dog people? Yes. There's some beautiful connection in a dog that like knows how to work with and serve its master. Amen? Now, I know that's a bit crass, but like that's there's a parallel here to the satisfaction and glory God gets when you and I, his image bearers, who are much more valuable than a dog or a horse or a cow, when we, in our own will and volition, do what he does and say what he says and go where he goes and represent him and walk with him and release his will on the earth. It's an incredible thought. So we aren't necessarily just like convincing God to do things he didn't want to do otherwise, but we are in Christ, seated in heavenly places, and we get to partner with God in real time on the earth. It's an incredible thought. How does that look? How does that work? Well, here's actually a biblical text to back up what I was just saying. When Jesus told the disciples about launching the church, look what he says. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. And I will give who? I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever who? Yeah, you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Sounds like God is willing to listen to us. Incredible thought. I actually think we need to just be more intentionally active in prayer. Like more intentionally active in prayer in our day-to-day lives. So what does it look like to partner with God, that we are partnering with God in prayer? Well, first, how do we release heaven, the reality of heaven on earth? First, it looks like obedience, just simple obedience to his word and his way. Obeying God's voice, walking in his ways, brings the dominion of heaven wherever you are. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Think about this. Think about your life, the 6'2", however many inches wide space that I occupy, is space that I can consecrate to God and God can have his way wherever this body goes. That's an incredible thought. So one of the ways that God's kingdom gets released on the earth is simply by us being reconciled to him and obedient to him in our day-to-day lives. Obedience brings heaven to earth. Amen? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I think about this, like that's one of the ways that Jesus said we would be effective as the church, like salt and light, just by living his way, obeying his word. And I've thought about this, you know, as the church in 2024, you think about there are some unique challenges that we face culturally. However, something that is not a challenge to us anymore is standing out. Like, you and I just embracing the values of the kingdom is countercultural. Like, the bar is very low for us to be a testimony to the world about there is another way to live, and there's a way to live following Jesus. You think about it. I've thought about this. Like, if I can just, like, stay married to my wife, raise 3 moderately well-adjusted kids, you know, go to church, be a person of honor who does what he says he's going to do. Like, what a wild testimony to the world around me. They're just like, what is up with him? There's something unique about that guy's life, right? Like, and I'm saying, like, just basically following Jesus in your life. Now, I'll be the first to admit, we don't always get it right. We fail, we drop the ball, and there's grace for that. But obedience brings the kingdom. But it's more than just a general obedience in your life that we partner with God. We actually get to intercede. What is intercession? Intercession is to stand in the gap between two things. It's in a very real sense what Jesus did for us on the cross. It bridged heaven and earth. And you and I, as his image bearers in Christ, actually get to go in this world and to be places or people of intercession that asks God to do things in real time and in real space. Incredible thought. We are invited to stand in the gap, the space between heaven and earth, and ask the Lord to move into situations boldly. you are allowed, not just allowed, but invited, and not just invited, encouraged to be a person of intercession. Pastor Seth said it great last week. Your whole life is a living prayer meeting. Everywhere you go, you are a person of intercession, releasing the kingdom, standing in the gap. You are a doorway into the will and reality of God wherever you go. That's an incredible thought. Now, some of you are thinking, well, I'm not perfect. Nope, you're not. But you are in Christ. You get to do that, and you get to ask God to move on your behalf. So we intercede. And one of the ways these things are all connected, what is partnering with God look like? It looks like declaration and dedication. As a follower of Jesus, as an ambassador or emissary of God, we can consecrate and dedicate places, times, and spaces to Him. Quite literally, God has given us authority. That means everywhere we set our foot, everything that we legally own, everything that's ours, we get to say, God, this belongs to you. May you be glorified here in this place, here in this time. You know, I want to be a person who dedicates everything unto God. So, like, we dedicated our kids, Melanie and I, we dedicated our kids. When we got married, we dedicated our marriage. We want to dedicate everything, dedicate my finances. I dedicate my home. We moved into our home. We dedicated that to God. God actually gives us real tangible authority to do those things. I dedicated my cars. You should. If you don't pray over your cars, you are missing an opportunity, and you are probably having more breakdowns than you would otherwise. I'm just saying. I've had some favor with these old clunkers I've had. Literally, I buy a car, I put my hands on the dash, and I just start commanding the reality of God. I'm joking, not joking. I just command the reality of God to, like, God, give me favor. Lord, would you extend the mileage? Would you make these tires not wear down so fast, Lord? I just do. And I'm like, Lord, I'm going to double these oil distances. I'm going to change it half the time. Like, it's funny, but not fun. I mean, God's not going to just bless your stupidity, but He will bless your intentionality. He really will. Your vacations, like, just think about your life. Everything that belongs to you. You get to make dedicated spaces for the rule and reign of King Jesus to reside there. That's incredible. You know, some of you parents, you have kids. Like, we just spent time in the service praying for people we want to see come to Jesus. Some of your children who are even in your house still are on those lists. Well, you can't convert their heart, but you can pray over their room, right? You can stand at the doorpost and lay hands on it. Maybe some of your kids are out of the house now, but they, you know what? You can still claim those, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord prayers over your kids. Like, you have dominion over what God has trusted to you. So it's an act of partnership. Here, let me ask you just a pointed question. I'm almost done. Do you see yourself as a partner in seeing the kingdom of heaven and the will of God released on the earth? Do you see yourself that way? Here is a crazy and sobering thought that you should just let hit your heart. The Holy Spirit and all of creation are groaning that you and I would fully engage with who God has called us to be. It says in Romans 8 that the creation groans that the sons of God would be revealed. What's it saying? What's it talking about? That you and I, like Adam, in the original Adam, would stand back up and say, all of this belongs to God, and I am going to exercise His authority on earth as it is in heaven. It says all of creation is just longing that God's children would be revealed on the earth, because when that happens, God's order gets released. Let me say that again. When God's children get revealed on the earth, God's order gets released. His will gets expressed. Do you see yourself as a partner? Let me say it like this. You are not here right now by accident. Do you ever think about God could have sovereignly chosen to have you born any place, any time in human history? He chose for you to be here now for a reason, on purpose. He sovereignly placed you here to bring heaven into your cubicle or into your home. or into that meal you're preparing. He's sovereignly placed you in the position he's placed you to be his ambassador on mission. You're not just here. You don't just have a job. You aren't just the mom. You aren't just the dad. You don't just live on your street. You are on a mission to be ambassadors and representatives of the living God, to express his will on the earth in real time. That's a very big deal. Y'all, if your Christianity is boring, you're doing it wrong. And if you're bored with God, to quote John Tyson, God is bored with you. Truly. Like, God wants to open the whole wide world up to you and show you with his eyes what he wants to do and how he wants his kingdom to invade the earth. Incredible thought. I had a great conversation with a business owner a couple weeks ago, a friend of mine from Fredericton, and he was just with tears in his eyes. So like, this guy's been very successful in his field. He's done very well. With tears in his eyes, he says, I've had a revelation in the last few years that God has gifted me to generate wealth to fund the kingdom of God in Atlantic Canada. Like, y'all, I can't stress this enough. Like, you are all priests. You are all missionaries. You are all ambassadors. You are all evangelists. We are all on mission to bring the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And the way we do that is through relationship, through prayerful connection with God, obedience, intercession, declaration. So it looks like partnering with God. Final thought. Prayer ultimately and fundamentally is not just an act of worship, not just an act of partnership, but it's about relationship. It's about relationship. Prayer invites God's presence in me. Maybe you could use the word with me as well. But it's about God above me. It's about God through me. But it's also about God in me. Here's the key concept. Company, intimacy with God. Probably my favorite definition of prayer. And it's not, I don't know who came up with this. I've just heard it. It's not mine. But prayer is keeping company with God. I love that thought. Prayer is just staying in relationship with God. It's what we do to keep company with God. Prayer is the way we make connection with God. When you turn to God in prayer, we are aiming our minds, our bodies, our hearts, our trust, our lives at him, and it's building relationship. Prayer is our means of conversation and connection. You know, humans, we have a variety of ways to connect, don't we? We can place phone calls. We can, if you're younger, you text. You snap, or whatever it is you kids are doing these days. Back in my day, if you wanted to go hang out with your friends, you didn't do it through a screen. You'd pick up the phone that was hanging on a wall, and you'd call. And get this, you actually had to talk to your friend's parents. Can you imagine? Hey, Mr. Burns, is Mark there? Like, where are my OGs at? Like, that's how we did it back in our day. Whatever the way you are connecting, like there are means of contact that we use as human beings. Let me say this as Christians. Prayer is your means of contact with Almighty God. It's how you connect with him. In the end, some of you are still envisioning. You are wrapping yourself up in the phone, doing this. Amazing. The good old days, right? At the cable. Some of you did it with your finger. All right, anyway, come back to me, I'm almost done. I'm actually getting to the heart, to like the real meaty part of this, so just stay with me. Everybody breathe. In the end, prayer is about connection with God, and hear me on this. The measure of our lives is the measure of our relationship with him. Like the experience of life in abundance that God promises is contingent upon how you and I abide in him and relate to him. Jesus said, like, look, you can try as hard as you want to be a good person. You can try as hard as you want to do everything right. You will bear no fruit. He says, if you just learn to aim your efforts at remaining in me, you will bear much fruit, and fruit that endures, that lasts. And he goes, and it's to the glory of God the Father. So in the end, the measure of your life is ultimately contingent upon your relationship with him, no more, no less. It's about knowing God. You know, one of the most sobering things that Jesus ever said, and Jesus had some pretty hard sayings, but one of the most sobering things is near the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and he says this. Can you imagine, like, this is like how he's closing his sermon. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will say to them plainly, I never knew you. So he's saying it's possible to theologically believe in him. It's even possible to partner in his power on the earth and yet still have a distance from him that you don't actually know him. How many of you know, like especially in our day of social media and celebrity, it's very easy to know a lot about somebody but not know them. You know, you might be the biggest Swiftie in the world, but if you saw her in a crowd and she saw you, she wouldn't know you. You can know a lot about a person but not actually know them. And the most important question Jesus is saying is, do you know me? Do I know you? Not about me, but do you know me? One of my current prayers in these days is this. Lord, help me know you better. Yes, scripture, that reveals God. Yes, worship. Yes, sermons. But Lord, would I know your voice? Would I know what you're thinking? Would we have a relationship in such a way that I know you and you know me? And how many of you know, like at first in a relationship, it's fumbly? Anybody remember when you were dating your spouse? I think about with Melanie and I, we've been together almost 20 years, married 18 years. And at first, like particularly me, I was so awkward. And like our conversation was challenged, and like it took a lot of time. Now, although sometimes it's not perfect, and just being real with marriage, like I'll tell you what, we have a shorthand. Like I know what she's thinking with a look. Good and bad, right? She didn't have to say anything at all. I got it, right? There's this shorthand that develops from relationship. It's like we can talk without saying anything. And I think that's ultimately what Jesus is after. It's what he's inviting. It's not just a standard to strive to. It's an invitation that you can know Almighty God, like in a shorthand way. Like that you would have things that he says to you, and like there would be humor and joy and love and laughter and all those things in a real relationship. That's what he is inviting you and I into. Prayer is how we relationally and intimately connect with God. It's how we keep company with him. And here's the last thought I want you to wrap your head around. When we pray, quite simply, you're connecting with him. And when we connect with him, when we are with him, we become more like him. Like, that's the key to your transformation. It's in his power. Here's what I've noticed in my life. People are absorbers of the environment they're around, aren't they? When I was in college, I was 19, I led worship in the South for like 6-7 weeks. And by like week 5, I started to talk a bit of a Southern drawl. Like, seriously, you just start picking that stuff up. Go to England, and before I leave, I'm talking with a bit of an accent, right? Like, it's just... you naturally do it. One afternoon on Graham and Ann, the old Charlotte County just comes right up. Just happens. That's not just in my environment. That's in my bones, people. But we are hardwired to adapt to the environments, and we become like those we spend the most time with. You know, you've probably heard it said, like, you're the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with. And so for us as believers, here's the most incredible part of prayer. We get to be with Jesus. And as we are with Jesus, we become like him. That is the secret to victory and transformation and self-control and peace and joy. You want more of those things in your life? The solution is actually not to ask God for more peace. It's to draw nearer to King Jesus and to receive his peace. That's what it's all about. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. When we turn to him, we experience him and we become like him. Prayer is the key to transformation. If we're going to be more like Jesus, we've got to be with Jesus more. Let me say that again. You guys can tweet that. If we're going to be more like Jesus, we've got to be with Jesus more. If you want freedom, pray. If you want peace, pray. If you want joy, pray. If you want self-control, pray. It comes from him, keeping company with him. And as you do, as you abide with him, you'll bear much fruit. Would you stand to your feet, everybody, all of our locations, I wanna pray for you. So just to recap, prayer is what? It's worship. Number two, prayer is partnership. Number three, prayer is relationship. Awesome, you got it, good. Here's a challenge for you this week. I want you to be proactive in worship. Not just reactive, but proactive. And I want to just hang tight one more minute. Don't take off. I want you to go to our renewal night. This is a pastoral plea. All of our locations, we have this happening. West, Valley, and Halifax is happening Wednesday night. Come, please come. And then on Sunday night, it's happening in PEI, and it's happening in St. Stephen. So all of our physical locations are going to have a renewal night. It's just a time to go and be with Jesus together. And I believe that God has a special thing for us that night. He's going to refill and recharge and renew us. But please come. If you can make plans to be here, I'd really appreciate it. Number two, partner with God. Make a point to intercede for a specific person and a specific place this week. I want to challenge you. Pray for that person that God put on your heart. And I dare you, whether you're at work or you're on a walk through your neighborhood, to pray that God's kingdom comes in the place that you're standing. Wouldn't it be amazing? Like, there'll be several thousand of us that are part of King's Church this week, that if we all, like, placed our feet on ground, and I'm standing outside of a middle school, and I say, God, would your kingdom come and will be done in that school as it is in heaven? If we all did that this week alone, think what God could do. Number three, I encourage you to keep company with God. Set aside some time to simply be with him. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your instruction. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you teach us. And I pray, Lord, even as you challenge and shape our minds, would you give us grace in our hearts, our wills, our bodies, to be able to step deeper into this invitation called prayer. Help us keep company with you better, Lord. God, my prayer for our church is that we would grow in this area. Help us be a praying church, Lord. Would someone just agree with me on that? Help us be a praying church, Lord. Help us be a praying church, Lord. Help us be praying marriages. Help us be praying families. Help us be praying business owners. Help us be praying teachers. Help us be praying students, Lord. Help us be a praying church, we pray. God, go with us this week by the power of your Spirit. Would you speak to us? Will we hear your voice? And will we do your will and be obedient to what you ask us? And we pray this in Jesus, who is the King's name. And all God's people said, amen.
Hey, thanks again for listening. If you found this helpful today, why don't you give it a share? If you need prayer or anything, we'd love to help you out with that. Why don't you go to our website at kingschurch.cc. Thanks again.